Cope to start the Aaron World, Shut Your Mouth, and Tom Petty in the Heartbreakers, and into the Great Wide Open there. It's 8:40 in the Full English Breakfast Show. A Brazilian man has become the first person to pass a British citizenship test using the Welsh language. Goodness me. Rodolfo Pikorski, who teaches English literature and Portuguese at Cardiff University, said it was important to him to use his linguistic rights and demonstrate there are different ways to be British. The 34-year-old linguist first came to the UK in 2013 to study for his PhD in Critical and Cultural Theory at Cardiff University. After 2 years of living in the Welsh capital, he decided to start learning the language. Dr. Pikorski, who's originally from southern Brazil, said he found it exciting to study the language. Reflecting on the test, which comprises 24 multiple choice questions, the lecturer said it's a silly test like a pub quiz and it doesn't integrate you. So I thought, how can I make the process more Welsh and give myself the challenge to do it in Welsh? I've heard people talk about Welsh as something quaint, but for me it's exciting, cool and young. That's been my experience in Cardiff. Here my cousin did a Welsh O-level to keep up with her Welsh husband, because they yak on all the time in Welsh, can't stand a word of it.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
Nice of you to show your face.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah? Having trouble getting up this morning, are you?
I've been up for many hours, it has to be said. There was a few technical issues, but we seem to have overcome those. That's the good news.
You're having a lot of technical issues at the moment, aren't you, really?
I don't know what it's down to be honest with you, but we're battling our way through it.
Okay, right. Markets ended the week in negative territory in New York, but Asian markets up this morning. President Trump appears to be out of the woods, really.
Yeah, it's been an interesting few days. Confirmation that President Trump had tested positive for COVID-19 cast somewhat of a shadow over risk assets to the end of last week. It's the test results we've been talking about add that further layer of uncertainty at a crucial time against the backdrop of the election. I suppose investors spent the last couple of days trying to assess the implications for his ability to carry out his duties. The impact on the campaign this week, the president was due to hold rallies in key battleground states. Second presidential debate not too far away, as we know, scheduled for the 15th of October in Florida. The very least certainly ensures the handling of COVID-19 remains a prominent feature of the election. Border ramifications could also include progress on stimulus negotiations being slowed down. Relaxation, COVID restrictions may take longer, could also add friction to the US-Sino relationship. Should note, of course, the market's been looking at this. We don't know the president's prognosis. In fact, there's lots of talk that he could be discharged today. It's equally hard to gauge what it means for political public opinion. However, expectations of a contested election appear to have been reduced. The chances of a Democratic clean sweep increase. Turned investor reaction. Markets initially moved into mild risk-off mode as the news broke. Equity futures, as we're talking about on Friday, was certainly trading low, but then paired losses over the course of the trading session. Asian equities have been higher overnight, and we are looking at a stronger start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling the FTSE up 38 points, DAX over in Frankfurt up 83 points, CAC Coronin Press up 36 points. I suppose all of it is a reminder that we do indeed live in this uncertain world. The best way to navigate that uncertainty continues to be through a globally diversified portfolio.
Yeah, so many rumours and counter-rumours sweeping around over the weekend about President Trump. But I just wondered if the latest polling numbers might put him into a bit of a relapse with Biden opening up a 14-point lead.
Yeah, it looks like a significant lead coming through. We know the polls can be volatile. There's significant margin error in many of those polls as well. And against the backdrop of what's taking place, it may take some time for those numbers to settle down. So we wait to see exactly, as you say, how he looks medically, what it means in terms of the campaign, and when those numbers start to settle down.
A big week for Brexit, you said before we came on air. It's always a big week for Brexit, isn't it?
It's been a big few years for Brexit, it has to be said. There is some light, but negotiators have not entered the tunnel yet. Last week marked the 9th round of EU-UK trade negotiations. While there is some optimism going into last week about the prospects for a deal, negotiations ended without sufficient progress. Political deal has not been reached. The negotiators have not entered the negotiating tunnel. This is an intensification of negotiations with a select group of senior negotiators that would work on the text of a deal. The question is, of course, whether the UK is willing to compromise a bit further on state aid, and in turn, if the EU gives some ground on Northern Ireland. Boris Johnson, Ursula von der Leyen had a big conference call on Saturday where they agreed to step up their negotiations, renewed their commitment to getting a deal done. Where does that leave us? on balance, a deal still remains achievable, but by no means inevitable. Still think it's going to be a deal that's thin, that's focused on goods, but can be built on over time. In terms of the timeline, this week's important, as I say, talks will intensify, fewer officials, more focus. The tangible step that everyone's looking for would be the UK, the EU, entering this negotiating tunnel. Crucial date continues to be 15th to the 16th of October. That's when you've got the European Council meeting and, of course, Boris Johnson's deadline.
I'm just reading a book called Reluctant European. Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't. Is it interesting?
It is. It's written by Stephen Wall, who's a former advisor and to Tony Blair, and also he was an EU commissioner. Well, not a commissioner, but he was an EU ambassador at one point. And it's the history, basically, of England between all the post-war up to Brexit. And it's very, very interesting, actually.
Well, that sounds nice. Sounds like a quiet weekend for you with a good book, the fire, and a bottle of red. Rather nice.
OK, and some good numbers from Tesla as well.
Yeah, Tesla delivered a record number of cars worldwide in the third quarter, smashing analyst estimates, maintaining its dominance in electric vehicle sales. The Palo Alto-based carmaker delivered 139,000 cars, eclipsing its prior all-time high of 112,000 in the fourth quarter of 2019, so significantly above analyst expectations. Seen as a barometer of worldwide electric vehicle demand, as Tesla seeks to maintain its lead over startups and established automakers alike, Snowball planning to launch dozens of competing battery-powered vehicles in the next several years. Tesla's global market share in electric vehicles last year was an industry-leading 16%. Elon Musk signaled that they've been doing very well and told employees that they were set for a record quarter, which, of course, they delivered on. Shares in Tesla have been a tremendous performer, up 435% this year.
Right. Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 129. Euro dollar coming in at 117. You can get €1.10 for your British pound this morning.
I wonder what the odds on Aston Villa beating Liverpool 7-2 yesterday were.
I love the Villa. I've always been a Villa fan.
Rubbish. But if anyone actually predicted that, they could be quids in today, couldn't they?
They would be doing very well, especially if you had the double with Spurs beating Man United. So an extraordinary day of football and some incredible results, no doubt about that. I'm surprised if Sarah's shown her face this morning, quite frankly.
Okay, right. Thank you. Talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hank Potts and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
I'm Rob Harrison with the top stories across the Riviera. At least two people have known to have died and 18 are still missing following Storm Alex, which hit the region on Friday. Mountain areas in the Vesubi Valley have been the worst affected, with roads and bridges down and houses washed away by floodwater. The Vesubi River rose to 6 metres above normal as torrents of floodwater and mud swept away infrastructure, including houses, bridges and roads. Several large landslides have also occurred, cutting off villages in both the Tine and Var valleys. The areas behind Sospel have also been badly hit. More than 1,000 firefighters and other emergency workers are on the ground today as the search for those missing continues and efforts are made to reach stranded villagers. The French Prime Minister Jean Castex visited the region over the weekend and expressed his deep concern over the situation. President Macron has also expressed his concern and has sent a message of support in which he said that everything possible will be done to restore services and carry out urgent repairs to damaged infrastructure. The region has been declared a natural disaster area, with the insurance bill set to run into hundreds of millions of euros. The Park Alpha Wolf Sanctuary has been completely destroyed by floodwaters and the whereabouts of the animals is not known. Aerial photography of the area has shown complete devastation and the body of one of the wolves from the park. 13 animals were being housed at the park at the time the flood struck. Many schools in Lahm will be closed today as a result of the shocking weather. Hundreds of children will not be able to attend classes for the foreseeable future, while many school buildings were damaged by floodwater. The local education authority is unable to say when schools will be able to resume classes. And many appeals have been set up to help those affected by the flooding. The Nice-Matin newspaper is leading appeals for blankets, warm clothing, food and accommodation is also required. Details of the various appeals can be found in today's newspaper at nicematin.com. In other news today, the French government has placed Paris on maximum COVID-19 alerts due to alarmingly high infection numbers. Bars are facing a two-week shutdown from tomorrow, but restaurants will be able to remain open under tight sanitary protocols and will have to close at 10 p.m. 16,972 new cases of coronavirus were reported in France on Saturday, the highest daily rate since widespread testing for the virus began. Cases of coronavirus in the Paris region remain above 250 per 10,000 people, levels already reached in Marseille and Aix-en-Provence. Authorities have conceded that the closure of bars will be tough, but said it was the only way to restrict the spread of the virus. A poll carried by BFM Television on Sunday suggested that 61% of people in the Paris region are in favour of bars being shut completely. Other large French cities, including Lyon, Grenoble and Toulouse, are also hovering near the maximum alert threshold. And the South Pacific archipelago of New Caledonia has again rejected independence from France in a referendum on Sunday. The territory's second vote in 2 years saw more than 53% of residents vote against independence. Turnout was 85%, higher than the 2018 vote. President Macron has welcomed the result and says the voters have spoken. The latest referendum is part of a 1998 decolonisation plan, which ended a violent conflict between the indigenous Kanak population, who mostly favour independence, and the descendants of European settlers.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Football, there were six games in the English Premier League on Sunday with one or two crazy results. The champions Liverpool were thrashed 7-2 at Aston Villa, who only narrowly avoided relegation last season, while Manchester United were trounced 6-1 at home by Spurs. In the other games, Leicester lost 3-0 at home to West Ham, Southampton beat West Brom 2-0, Arsenal were 2-1 winners over Sheffield United, and Wolves beat Fulham 1-0. With the details, here's the latest from BBC Sports. Oh, sorry, can't bring you that at the moment. Try in the next hour. In the Scottish Premiership on Sunday, Celtic were 2-0 winners at St Johnstone and Rangers beat Ross County 2-0. And in the English Championship, Preston were 4-2 winners at Brentford and Stoke and Birmingham drew 1-1. Tennis, the top seed Simona Halep is out of the French Open after being beaten in the fourth round by Iga Swiatek. Halep was beaten in just 68 minutes, 6-1, 6-2 by the Polish teenager. There are now just five seeds left in the women's singles. In the men's event, Rafael Nadal has raced into the last eight with a straight sets win over Sebastian Korda, but Alexander Zverev is out after being beaten by Jannik Sinner. Athletics, the London Marathon has been won surprisingly by Shura Kitata of Ethiopia, who pushed home to beat Vincent Kimpachumba of Kenya. The favourite, Eliud Kipchoge, fell behind with two laps of the modified course to go and could only finish in eighth place. Bridget Kosgei defended her title by winning the women's event. Both races were held in cold and windy conditions on a specially designed closed-loop course because of coronavirus restrictions. Rugby Union, it was the final day of the Gallagher Premiership in England on Sunday, with Bristol securing a playoff place thanks to a 36-7 win at London Irish. In the other results, Gloucester beat Northampton 20-0, Harlequins were 32-26 winners at Leicester, Saracens and Bath drew 17-all, and Wasps thrashed Exeter 46-5. Exeter, Wasps, Bristol and Bath were in the top four places, but Bath could lose out if Sale win their final game on Wednesday against Worcester. The game was postponed yesterday owing to a COVID-19 outbreak in the Sale squad. Racing, Sotsas has won the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe in a dramatic race in Paris. The first five horses home were all trained in France, with In-Swoop second and Persian King third. A steward's inquiry was held for possible interference between the runners, but the result was not affected. The favourite Enable struggled on the soft ground and was unable to make an impact. And in golf, Aaron Rye of England has edged out Tommy Fleetwood in a playoff to win the Scottish Open. Both players had ended on 11 under par, with Rye winning at the first extra hole.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster yachts, beyond expectation.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Our Maritime in the VAR, the general situation is a depression 1,008 millibars over the Côte d'Azur and a ridge of high pressure 1,020 millibars over Spain. Winds are southwesterly, force 6 to 7. The sea is moderate to rough. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,006 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are west-southwesterly, force 6 to 7. The sea is moderate to rough. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,005 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, cloudy, force 3 to 5 westerly winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster yachts, beyond expectation.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat, the home closing specialist in Nice and Villefranche.
Partially cloudy with moderate southwesterly winds, top temperature 21 degrees, overnight lows 14 degrees on the coast, 10 degrees inland with clear skies, Tuesday and Wednesday partially cloudy, highs of 21 to 23 degrees.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat Nice and Villefranche, for 30 years specialising in home closures, windows, blinds, shutters, reinforced glazing and doors. Feel good at home. Visit servibat06.fr.
Finally, France has submitted a bid to host part of the European Weather Forecasting Centre, which is leaving its current home in the UK because of, you guessed it, Brexit. The European Centre for Medium Range Weather Forecasts is currently based in Reading, but could move to Toulouse if the French bid is accepted. The centre, which employs 150 people, collects meteorological data from around the world and develops short and long range forecasts and models for EU member states. A centre of the aerospace industry, Toulouse already hosts the National Centre for Space Studies, the forecasting services of French weather forecast Messier France and those of Mercator Ocean International, which is implementing the ocean monitoring service of the European Copernicus programme. Now, France has already secured the hosting of the European banking regulator, which moved from London to Paris last year, and the relocation of several high-profile banks. French President Emmanuel Macron is keen to set up Paris as a rival financial centre to London after Brexit, and the French government has also been targeting British tech and computer games businesses. The old on-talk cordial then.